But I know. But I am going to be teaching the book of Romans. I'm just going to, Tonight I called him around. I really didn't want to have to give it up, but I can't. My nexus. So Pastor Myers, you're always a blessing. Thank you for being with us. And come on ahead and preach to us, Rich. Oh, man. That's what you got associate pastors for, to stand in the gap. I like that jacket.
You have one just like that. If you have your Bibles, to turn to John chapter 2, please. John chapter 2. I read a book once on the Apostle Paul, and it was entitled The Man That Shook the World. This evening I want to talk to you about the man who stood strong, and I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You know, when you read your Bible through in the New Testament, and you get to the end as far as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you wonder sometimes why Jesus just stood there. He knew why. He didn't have to do anything for me. He was strong. I said to myself sometimes, you know, I'd be shouting as loud as I could shout, telling these people that they need to repent. Don't you realize who I am? I would have said if I was Jesus Christ, but he didn't. And he's just an amazing character. As far as his strength goes, as far as his honor goes, as far as his compassion goes. But let me tell you, you can get mad sometimes too. And we're going to see that here in the Bible, but it was for a reason. He was defending his father's house. And I wish we'd get a little bit more mad when it came to defending the Lord's house. And we would stand up a little bit and shout and say no or yes sometimes. When it comes to things, when it comes to hypocrisy, as far as the Bible not being taught, as far as people saying things on the television and the radio that's not true, and want to tear down our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, our Father in heaven, and our Bible that we have. I wish we would sound off a little bit more often than what we do, but yet we do not. I want to talk to you about the man who stood strong. John chapter 2, verse 13. Once you find that, please stand for the reading of God's word. John 2, chapter 13. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, and I'm so thankful that he did that, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracle which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. He knows all of us. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He does today. He knows our hearts. He knows exactly why we're here today. He knows why we're in services today. Sometimes it's a struggle to come, but God knows our motive. We don't have to defend. We don't have to try to explain why we come to church on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights or Sundays. He knows, and I pray that each and every one of us, as far as our hearts go, are right, that we come for the right reason, that we're here because we want to hear from Him. We want to be blessed by His Word. We want to grow. You ever tell your grandchildren, when you stretch in the morning time, that's just growing pains? That's just a little bit of growing? We come because we want to learn and we want to grow. But again, I want to talk to you about the man who stood strong. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for all that are here. We pray, Father, that You would just touch our hearts. You would speak to us. We pray for the Word of God, how powerful it is. It tells us about You and all that You do and all that You have done and all that You will be doing. Father, help us to learn and grow and stretch. Father, bless, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can have a seat. We would be badly mistaken if we thought that Jesus was a weak man, as some want to teach us. We'd be awful wrong to think that Jesus... You know, you get some of these movies, some of these Hollywood movies that depict Jesus as meek and mild, and sometimes people might even think that He's not strong at all, that He's just meek and mild, but He's strong when He needs to be strong. He has compassion when He needs to have compassion. He loves all the time. I believe with all my heart that His heart yearns all the time for all of us, not only those that are saved and those that are lost. I believe that He looks down and He wants everyone to know Him as Lord and Savior. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants to give everyone, He wants to shower everyone with His blessings. Yeah. And I believe sometimes when people hurt and they don't call upon His name, that hurts Him. Oh, what a man. I don't believe He's like the pictures that our worldlings depict of Him, or the movies that depict of Him. We all know that Noah is out, and we know that scripturally, I haven't watched it, but what I've heard already from some fundamental independent Baptist preachers is that it doesn't follow this line. And if it doesn't follow this line, I don't want nothing to do with it. And I don't think anybody else should either. But I know who my Lord is. I know that He's strong. I know that He is caring. I know that He's compassionate. The Lord was no sissy. No sissy at all. He lived a clean and wholesome life. And if that means being a sissy, shame on us. Shame on us. It takes power and might to live a godly life, a clean life. And each and every one of us should strive to do that. I look upon my life and I see a sin that riddles this body of mine and some of the things that I did when I was a younger man. And how ashamed I am. It's not easy living a Christian life. I read my Bible, I pray, but it's still not easy to live a Christian life, to live a pure life. And if anyone sells you that bill of goods, don't buy. Just don't buy. It takes us to stay in this Word, to stay strong, to walk strong, to seek Him each and every day. And then, just maybe then, you can walk strong as a Christian goes. But he was no sissy, just because he lived a clean and wholesome life. And I don't believe that that he had long hair either, as a lot of our pictures and our movies want to depict our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he was a man. I believe that if he lifted weights, he would have been with me in high school when I lifted weights. I believe he would have been there. But I don't believe he had to. He was strong in other ways. He was no sissy. Although in spirit he was a tender-hearted person, he was the manliest of all men. We could say of him, as the poet said, of Sir Galahad, his strength was as the strength of 10 because his heart was pure. We see him single-handedly in the Scripture here, driving out a group of evil men from the temple. Why? Why would he do that? Because they weren't doing what they should be doing in the temple of God. It was a place of worship. It was a place that God gave to David and explained to him, and David was able to raise the money so that his son Solomon could build that temple according to God's dimensions. It was a place that God wanted people to come and bow their knees and worship to Him. Why? And these people, they were selling things. They were selling doves and oxen and all kinds and sheep. And they were changing out money. They weren't worshiping God. My goodness, do you know the people from all over Jerusalem, like our Easter time, they'd come to church no other time but maybe Easter or Christmas time. You know, we're going to see a lot of people that we don't see here next, not on the 20th. That's when Easter is, right? 20th of April, I believe. We're going to see people we haven't seen for 6 months to a year. You know, God knows their hearts too, just like He knows our hearts. But they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And people would come all in and they would buy money. And sometimes they'd have to exchange that money because they couldn't accept Roman coin in the temple, in the temple there. So they would have to exchange that money out. And they would have to buy they would have to buy their sacrifices. Can you imagine what these people must have saw as they walked in the temple of God? You know, that's why we make such a big deal of making sure that our house is in order. God's house is in order, and it should be in order. Everything should be done decently in order. This is God's house. This is a place where people come and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is where a lost soul will come and be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that our house, that's why men and women come on Saturdays or maybe even Fridays and clean and sweep and dust. And they do that to honor God. This is God's house, inside and out. I'm a stickler for doing things decently in order. I'm a stickler for making sure that God's house is right as far as the appearance goes. People walk in, that's their first impression. It's got to be right. Can you imagine what these people thought when they walked in? They came from all over outside of Jerusalem because it was the Passover to worship God. And here's all kinds of characters, all kinds of people, and they're exchanging money. There might even be an auctioneer there. You know, who'll give me one? Who'll give me two? And so on and so forth. The sheep and the oxen and so on and so forth. The Lord was angry for a reason. These people were not honoring God. They weren't coming. They weren't here with the right attitude in the right heart. And I've said this before. Those of us are Christians. When we come to the house of God, you need to be prayed up. You need to be prepared. We need to be ready for God to bless, because it depends on us as far as our prayer life. You want to see a soul saved? Have you prayed for one yet this week? Have you prayed for one yet this week? Have you prayed for the Wednesday night services? Have you already prayed for Sunday and Sunday night services, that souls would come and get right with the Lord? That souls, it's on us. It's something we should do. Listen, I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've walked in some churches. And you can tell if the spirit's right. You can tell if the attitude's right. You can tell if the heart's right. You can tell that there's something just about it. And I know this is a little bit of a morbid thought, but it's what came to mind. Do you know that you can actually tell when a person is about ready to die because they have that certain smell about them? I don't know if you know that or not, but it is true. When you come into the house of the Lord, not only do we need to smell spring fresh because of all the cleaning that's been done, but we need to be prayed up. We need to be ready to go. We need to have the right heart and the right attitude so that souls will come down, so that they can sense it when those doors are open and when they walk into this house and they sit down. They need to be able to sense it. And it starts with us. It starts with our heart. It starts with our praying. It starts with our reading. It starts with our right attitude. We all need it. Young people and old. Young people, how many times have you prayed for souls in your classes? How many? How many times have you prayed for your teachers? They need your prayer, each and every one. It's important that everything begins. It's important that we defend this house. It's important that we don't let anything come in. It's important that we just don't let any song be sung. It's important that we just don't let any music that's played. It's important that we just don't let any Bible be read. It's important that we do things according to God's word for His honor. It all plays a part. It all plays a part. Our attitudes and our hearts, it all plays a significant part. And the Lord, He walks in. His first impression is not a very good one. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on as far as things go. You know what? We all talk about this a lot. You get upset sometimes, and I'll say sometimes, over in this section here on Sunday morning towards the end, we get some kids that can be kind of rowdy. You might have them on your side as well. You know, we need to pray about that. You know, that the kids, because everything's got to be right. Everything's got to be right for a soul to be convicted. Everything's got to be right for a soul to get saved, to walk down this aisle. Everything's got to be in place. And it's up to us. If you haven't been told, which I'm sure you have been before, because I've seen some people respond, you get somebody that's rowdy, you need to break it up. If that means you need to get up and sit, then you need to get up and sit. Everything is important. And the Lord was upset because things that should be going on were not going on. And things that weren't... Where were the people of the temple? Where were the high priests? Where were the priests and those that had responsibility? Why didn't they stop that? It falls on you and I. This is God's house. It's important. He got angry. He was defending God's house. People were not worshiping God with the right heart and the right attitude. They weren't worshiping at all. But yet, you know what? There was compassion there too. It says that He took a scourge, of course, and He drove out the oxen. And He drove out the other. And He probably, some of the oxen and some crates may have been brought in. And that there was some twine or some other material that He would tie together. And he made a scourge out of it. And sure, He slapped that scourge. And he whipped that scourge so that those animals would get out of there. He did that. But you know what? He didn't run them totally off. Just like the doves. He just didn't let them all go. He let the owners of those doves gather up those doves. He had compassion at the same time. There's ways that we can do things to let people know that maybe what they do is not right. Their actions are not right in the house of God, but have compassion on them at the same time. And we need to do that. Again, Bethel Baptist Church, this is God's house. We need to defend this house with every breath of air that we have. Every inch of strength that we have, we need to defend God's house. It's important. I've seen people in pews before, not necessarily here, that you could tell, and you all probably have experienced this too. God has working in their heart. They're being convicted. There's something, rather it's just to walk down the aisle and pray, or they want to get saved. Or just something. They just want to walk down that aisle and do something. They want to pray to the Lord. And I've seen activity that goes on in a church house, and they don't even want, they forget all about moving. That whatever it was they had, it left. They don't want to walk down anymore. They don't want to pray anymore. Something has happened. Something has caught their eye. Something has disturbed them to the point that they no longer want to walk down that aisle. That's on us. That's on us. This is God's house. The intention of God's house here is to make sure that souls are saved and Christians are edified. I hope you don't come for any other reason. If you're a Christian, sometimes you need strength. Sometimes you need a fellow Christian to say just one word, and that helps. That touches your heart. And let me tell you something. We need to be encouragers. We as Christians need to be encouragers. There's a lot of people that hurt. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people that need encouragement. You live out in that world for 6 days out of the week and think you're going to be able to catch up on one day. It's not going to happen. We need encouragement all the time. And we need to be encouragers. That's part of our job as far as Christians. But we need to defend God's house. We need to make sure that what's supposed to go on goes on. The Lord cared. Listen, He was no sissy. He was no weakling. And you know what took place? The people that were selling the oxen, the people that were the money changers, they weren't going, well, what right do you think you have to disturb our activities here? None of them came up and said, hey, we're going to arrest you. We're going to turn you into the Jewish guard. None of them did that. You know what they tried to do? They tried to sidetrack him with the temple of God. When he said in 3 days the temple of God would raise, he was talking about his resurrection. And they tried to distract him. They tried to distract the rest of the people. They went on the defense right away. Isn't that what people do? They go on the defense right away when they know that they're wrong. We need to make sure we have the right touch, the right amount of compassion, the way of handling things. As far, you know, you get a lot of people say, you know, you shouldn't have done that like that. You get a lot of critics. But we need to have, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. I'm 62 years old, and I can tell you today I'm still learning. How about you? I can tell you that at 62 years old, I make mistakes. How about you? So don't get over critical or judgmental about other people. Be careful. Be passionate. Be loving. Be caring. That's what we're supposed to do as far as brothers and sisters in Christ. But these guys, they wanted to keep going the wrong way. They didn't want to worship God. They could care less. They were looking for the mighty dollar and what they could get out of it. They didn't care what kind of act. They didn't care that people from all over came to worship God. They didn't care about that. As far as this church house goes, we need to care. We need to care what goes on. Again, God knows our heart. God knows our attitude. If you're saying something or thinking something right now, I can't hear it, but God can. God can. You know, we have many churches playing church today. You can have a form of godliness, but none of power. You know, we can go through the motions as a church without any power. Sometimes people wonder why. Why aren't people being baptized on a regular basis? Oh, it's this world of ours. But you know, there's still people getting saved. You know, why aren't people walking down the aisles and getting right? Well, you know, it's the world we live in. No, it isn't. It's us. We're not praying like we should. We're not begging like we should. You know, when we first came here, a little over a year, just a little under a year and a half ago, we prayed for the pastor. I hadn't seen anything like that in a long time, the way you guys prayed, the way you came, the way you gave, the way you cried. It's just not when a man's sick, people. There are people that are spiritually sick. There are people, souls that are spiritually, that are dead and on their way to hell. We need to pray like that all the time. It's just not a one deal and you're done type of thing. We need to pray. There's so many churches today that look like a church on the outside. You may even walk in and it looks like a church, but it isn't a church. We can't be like that. We need to be different. We need to care. We say we care. You give like you care. And I've never had a church that would call or send cards or tell me how much you're missed than I have at this church. It's a blessing. But we need to have compassionate for souls, every one of them. Every one of us here need to pray for every one. We need to not look like a church. We need to act like a church. And I'm not saying that there's anything that we've done here that I'm just saying this is what God in an hour and a half gave me to preach is to preach this message. In the first chapter of Isaiah, God tells Israel that they are full of sin, that they have turned their backs on Him, and that their hearts are far from Him. They still offer their sacrifices. But He says, I'm tired of your sacrifices. You know why? Because He knows the heart, and the people weren't giving their heart. They were going through the motions, and I sometimes think that I go through the motions, that I don't do sincerely everything that I can do, that I am going through the motions. And let me tell you, a day or two of that, and I can tell spiritually, my battery is low. But see, He wasn't impressed. You read the Isaiahs and the Jeremiahs and the Ezekiels, and you see the state of Israel. How God continually gave these people a warning, and they refused to listen. They continued to do their idolatry. They still went their own way. This whole world is going its own way. But as far as Bethel Baptist Church, we need to go God's way. I hope we have church services when the rapture occurs. Yeah. I hope that each and every one is praying, prayed up and ready to go, and souls are walking down the aisle as the rapture occurs. Yeah. I don't care what every other church is doing. I only care about my church. Amen. And what we're doing. Maybe our attendance is down. I look at the attendance from time to time. And I see how it dips and how it goes up. It's nothing different than any other church, it seems like. I see the attendance at soul winning. You know that people that, if we don't go soul winning, if we don't invite people to church, if we don't make calls, we're not going to bring them in. We're just not going to bring them in. God commands us, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to go. We need to go. We need to come to church with the right heart and the right attitude. We start doing that and praying for souls to be saved, and the pews won't be empty. There won't be any money problems because people will give. I think sometimes we need to give back to the old landmarks. I think sometimes we need to get back down to the foundation and start coming back up and realizing where our problem is and saying and doing what we should be doing so we can build it back up. You know, God's not done. Amen. You know, God kept on telling Israel, if you just would listen to me, if you just give up your idolatry, if you would just follow me, I'd forget all of this. You're still my people. You wouldn't have to worry about Nebuchadnezzar. You wouldn't have to worry about the Medes and the Persians or the others that would surround the Israelites, the Amorites, and all the others. You wouldn't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Listen, If we do what we're supposed to do as Christians here at Bethel Baptist Church, I don't care what's going on around the world. I don't care what's going on outside. Because we're doing what's right. And we care. And we want to see souls saved. We just don't put a name on a billboard and call ourselves a church. We apply the Word of God. And we do what the Bible tells us. That's why we call ourselves Bethel Baptist Church. We need to get back to the foundation. We need to get back to where people are coming in. You know, pastor gets sick. Who's going to step up? Well, you say, well, Dave's here. Then you say, well, there's associate pastors here. That's true. And they should help pick up. But so should the rest of us. When one falls, we should be there to pick them up. And it's just not one man, one woman's responsibility. The Lord, by Himself, goes into this temple. And He said, this is not right. This is God's house. I'm taking a stand. And He clears it out. He clears it out. And you and I, we need to make a stand. This is still God's house. God comes here. He watches our services. He knows our hearts. He knows if we're ready. He knows if we're not prepared. Listen, I know exactly when I'm not prepared to either to preach at Super Church or a Sunday school class or preach a message. I know exactly when I'm not. And I can guarantee you this, if you just pay a little bit of attention, you can tell when I'm not prepared too. You would be able to prepare. You would be able to see also. We need to be prepared all the time, ready to go. And listen, when I was in the military, we had what was called alerts. When the base went on alert, we had so many hours to be ready to be on a transport plane to go wherever it was necessary. We had bags packed. And you packed the bag, you put it in the closet, and you left it there. Because you only had a certain amount of time to show up, to get signed in, to get the briefings you were supposed to have, and if necessary, load a plane and go somewhere, wherever it was designated that you were to go. We need to be prepared, folks. We have a whole week to prepare for our next Sunday service. We have Monday. We have all week to prepare for a Wednesday night service. And we need to have our hearts prepared. You want to see more than 90, 89, 90 people on a Wednesday night? Let's pray. Let's do what we're supposed to. Let's have the right heart and the right attitude. Let's do what we're supposed to. Let's remember, God will always do His part. Didn't God protect Jesus in that temple? Of course He did. Of course He did. You know, even when Jesus was on the cross, God was there. He was there. He cared. He loved. We need to love. We need to care. It falls on us to be ready to go in a moment's notice, to do whatever necessary. You know, I tell my wife this all the time, Pastor. One of the reasons that I joined this church is because I wanted to help. I wanted to help. You know, Pastor's been sick. I don't know about you, but if you pay any kind of notice at all, from time to time, Pastor Dave he's run ragged here, there, and everywhere. He can't do it all. Who's going to pick him up? Who's going to pick him up? You know, when I heard that you weren't feeling well and Dave was sick, and that I very so much wanted to come Sunday anyhow. I just wanted to come to help. I just want to help. And I believe that's what I told my new members class this. As a church, and I've told you this once before. When you're a babe in Christ, you prepare. You learn. You observe. But there's a time that you're not a baby Christian anymore, or shouldn't be. It's a time to participate. We don't have very many participators anymore. And then, after that, there's another stage. It's called leadership. We need to be leaders, each and every one of us. If you're satisfied, and you're here, and you're doing nothing, and you're satisfied, you seriously need to get on your knees. You seriously need to get on your knees. It falls on all of us. It's all of our duty to lift each other up when they fall. God finds no delight in your songs, in your prayers, in your testimony, or your service unless your life is clean and your heart is in all of it. You might as well not even sing, really, if your heart's not right. You might as well not, because it's not doing anything. It's serious business to be a Christian. It's not for the weak. My dad tells me all the time, he says, being old is not for the weak. And I believe it. Being a Christian is not for the weak. You have to determine. But God finds no. The mighty master, he stands before them and he runs them out. What did Jesus do when he saw the temple being profaned? He immediately made a scourge of cords, probably using the cords which had been used to tie the oxen. He started after the crowd and drove the men and the sheep and the oxen out of the temple. He turned the tables over, spilling out the money on the floor. He told those who were selling doves to take them out of the temple. You know, I was willing to die for my country, and everyone that's in the military will tell you the same thing. You go in there taking your oath and understanding, and that oath, that there may be a chance that you may give your life for your country. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to give our life for the Lord. This is His house. We need to fortify it, stand for it, and defend it. With all our heart, with all our mind, each and every day. Your home, where you live. Don't let Satan come into your home. Don't let him come into and pervert your home. The Holy Spirit is with you in that home. It's serious business being a Christian. But Jesus was not afraid to put fear into every heart. And soon the whole crowd was running out of the temple. The whole crowd. The terror of God had fallen upon them. Here we see the other side of Christ's nature. We often think of Him as a gentle and compassionate, and so He is. We hear Him saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But He is not only gracious, He is righteous, He is merciful, yet He is holy. And when we come to worship, we need to be in a spirit of worship. We need to come with the right heart. Things won't get done unless we're right. And it's just not the pastor or the associate pastor or to pray. It's just not the Sunday school teachers to pray for their Sunday school classes. It's just not the bus drivers or the bus workers that should pray for the bus routes. It should be all of us. Stand up and defend our God, our Lord, and our Savior. I want to see souls saved. He receives all those who come unto him, but he shows wrath upon those who trample him and to those who turn their back upon him. That's what hell's all about. Someday, those that have turned will have to face that. And as horrible as the cross of Calvary was and all the events that led up to Jesus being crucified on the cross of Calvary, as terrible and malicious and vicious as that was, I can tell you this, hell for the lost soul is going to be much worse. Much, much worse. He only rewards righteousness, our Lord does, but he punishes sin. I told you this once before. I had a church member in Pennsylvania tell me that, and I just had a senior moment. I forgot what I was going to tell as far as that goes. Oh, I know what I was going to. I had somebody in my church tell me that God doesn't ever get angry. And they left my church because of it. How much of the Bible do you think they read? Not very much. Jonathan Edwards preached his great sermon on the subject, The Sinner in the Hand of an Angry God. This is not a very pleasant thought, but it will be the lot of all those who reject Christ. We hear Jesus shouting, "Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." There are some churches today which make God's house a house of merchandise. Shame on us. Someone has said three things about the modern church. First, the church is turning from soul winning to social services. They are looking after man's physical interest instead of trying to bring men to cross Christ on the cross. Second, they are turning from prayer to the pantry. You ever notice some of the billboards, some of the signs, that they have an open pantry from such and such and such and such? You ever read the bingo signs? Bingo today. You know, we don't make our money to support our church and our pastor that way. That's not the way to do it. It's wrong. Third, they are turning from tithes to tables. Setting up plenty of tables and trying to sell all. Now, I'm not talking about what goes on in the foyer. And I know that we have bake sales, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if that would happen inside this church, I'd probably be the first one that'd have to leave. But when it comes to out in the foyer, this is God's sanctuary right here. But we want to sell things instead of tithe, instead of support. I've said this many, many, many times. If everyone would tithe that's a member of this church, we'd never have any money problems. We'd never have any money problems. So that goes to say this. There's a lot of people who don't tithe. There's a lot of people who don't tithe. Again, being a Christian is not easy. It's not easy. But Jesus, he stood because the house was being violated. He took a stand. When was the last time you took a stand for Jesus? When was the last time? Again, as the last couple verses said, in verse 23, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracle which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men." He knew who was right and who was wrong. There was a lot of professions. There was a lot of professions, but God knew their hearts. Don't kid yourself. I know God knows my heart every day. I know he sees right through me. I can snooker some people. But God knows my heart. God knows my motive. But he didn't make a big deal out of it because he realized man's heart. In the last verse, "And he did not that any should testify a man, for he knew what was in man." He knows all of us. We need to get right and make sure. And again, everyone here could be perfectly right with the Lord. I doubt it, but it's possible. But realize this. You may snooker us, but you're not snookering him. He knows. He stood firm. He stood tall. He stood Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He wasn't afraid of anyone. He wasn't afraid to stand before anyone. And he won't be afraid the judgment seat or the great white throne of judgment to pronounce judgment. He won't be afraid. We've all been given a chance. We all have an opportunity to stand with him as strong Christian men and women. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word. Father, what a blessing it is to have the word of God, to be able to read it, to get excited each and every day as we read your word, and you show us new and different things all the time. How you show us how strong our Lord and Savior was. Man may make him out to be a sissy or a weakling. They may detract from his name. They may want to bring our Lord down to their level, but it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it happen. Father, your Son, your glorious Son, is in heaven in that throne room. He's paid an awesome price. Will we stand with him? I pray in this room, if there's anyone that hasn't stood like they should stand, I pray, Father, that during this time of prayer, during the time of invitation, that we would do what's right according to your will and way. Father, God knows our heart. You see right through us. You know exactly who we are. We can fool all kinds of people, but we can't fool you. Father, I just pray. I thank you for these people. Father, I know Wednesday night is the core of our church people, but yet I also know that we sometimes fall by the wayside. It may only be a day or two. It may only be an hour or two. But Father, we need you. We need to come back to you. And I just pray, Father, during this time, if anyone has a need, Father, that they would come down, they would pray, and you would meet their needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody stand, please.